The point at which you realised you'd been taken.
Yes.
What was the precise moment when you went, oh my God?
It was probably several days after he had supposedly gotten on that plane.
Mm-hmm.
And I realised there was no response coming back from him.
Yep.
He totally cut off from me.
Okay.
So I think that was maybe a Saturday, and by the Tuesday or Wednesday, it had hit deep in my tummy,
yep.
You know, that chunk, which is like, oh, my God.
Yep. He should be
I've
in London.
I've lost all of this money.
Yeah.
He's not responding. It's pretty devastating because I had loaned him over $260,000.
Yeah.
I had taken additional debt of over $30,000 on credit card. I had taken money out of my superannuation fund that I was not allowed to do. So I had engaged in illegal activity for this. And even at the very end there, I was actually working at the time, but I had given him money out of my last pay, so I actually couldn't survive through the next month. So I got myself into a very difficult situation. I'm not somebody to hide, though. So I did contact my friends, and the ones who had warned me, and let me know that they were in fact right. I did speak to my mother, though at that stage I didn't tell her how much I had lost.
Yep.
But not the rest of my family. You know, and in those days, it was for a period of probably, you know, maybe a month, I was in intense grief. You know, there was a period there where, even though I probably knew in my heart that this was not that very dapper looking engineer, but possibly a black man. I was in the state where if he had knocked on the door, I would have taken him in. You know, it's very hard to let go of that connection that you have built up.
How did those friends, well, I guess we know how they reacted. Do you still have those friends to this day?
Yes,
that
I
circle
do.
Of friends. Wow, so
yes,
they've stuck by you.
Yes, absolutely.
That's
they were long-term friends.
Yeah.
And they had felt me pulling away, which is what happens in a scam. You are encouraged to cut off from all your friends. And even though they had warned me, they sort of thought it was respectful to let me do what I said I wanted to do. Now, this is another difficulty with scams. It's very difficult to break into a scam while it's in operation. And I say that because I later set up a support group, and I have a lot of people contacting me saying, I've got a family member who I believe is in a scam right now and I cannot get through to them. It's very difficult to get through to somebody who's actually in the process of being scammed.
Yeah.
Because we reject them. We reject the idea that it is a scam.
I'm
thinking of the way that cults psychologically manipulate people and get them to cut off contact with family and friends, and similar techniques in some ways.
Absolutely similar techniques, yes.
I'm delighted to hear that those people have stuck with you, because, you know, your circle of friends have stuck with you.
I am lucky that way.
Yeah.
And I do hear from many other victims that they are rejected by family. The level of blaming of the victim is, in my understanding, unconscionable, really. This culture is very victim-blaming.
Yeah.
You know, that's a term that just came up in the last sort of 12 months or so, but it absolutely applies here. How could you be so stupid?
I was just going to say, I think that is the very first line of your book, isn't it, or thereabouts? And you must have heard that so many times now.
And you know, when I first went on the TV, some very nasty things came across on the social media.
Oh, of course, but... Yes, people in darkened bedrooms. It's, you know,
yes.
You've achieved this book. They've achieved nothing in their lives, yes. You see. That's kind of, they've achieved anonymity, yes, behind drawn,
yes,
drawn curtains.
Mike, going back to your question, yeah, it's the whole thing of when you come out of a scam, you, certainly for me and what I've heard other victims tell me, is that we don't understand what happened.
Hmm.
And I spent, you know, why I have this book is because I spent sort of 3 months documenting all of the emails and all of the text, trying to figure out what happened.
Mm.
Yep.
And then had to put it aside. Yeah. I spent the next 18 months in a state of depression, basically.
Yeah.
And couldn't read it again. Couldn't even, yeah, read it again. And during that time was quite isolated. Would certainly didn't do much in the social sense. Hang out with family a little bit.
Mm.
And I had somebody who said to me during that time when they met me, had feedback later on that I wasn't very friendly.
Mm.
And it's because during that state I didn't believe I deserved to be known as a friend. My self-respect had gone totally out the window.
Wow, yeah.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't say that I was ashamed, but it's like we blame ourselves for what happened. So it was a tough time, those sort of first 18 months after the scam, a very tough time.
Yeah.
Luckily, I had some, I had work, and that provided a base for me, and I had a very nice cat.
Oh,
and
yes.
I do believe, yeah, that if I didn't have that cat, it might have got even worse.
You speak with great affection of,
yes,
your cat. Were you still working in IT during this? Was that when you say you were working? Were you still?
Yes, yes.
Right.
Yes.
Mm. And employment can be very useful when you're going through a grieving process, a difficult,
yes,
time,
yes,
just to give you
it
structure.
It provides that structure and stability. Yeah. Now, after that 18 months, I was actually retrenched from my job.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And I believe now, though, didn't at the time, that the cause of that retrenchment was also an aftermath of the scam.
Okay.
Mm. But what happened is in that intervening period, it gave me the time to finish the book,
yep,
and, mm-hmm, and continue to work on the rest of the book.
Yeah. It was. Did you see the book as a sort of way of kind of purging, you know, in a sense, to get this out of your system, to actually get it down on paper?
Some of that,
as,
yes,
some sort of, be it a therapeutic way of doing it, or just, you know, I suppose being sort of lost for a reaction, I guess, after,
yes,
all this, having been hit by the truck you were hit by.
Yes, yes.
It's like, what on earth, you know?
It was certainly that. But even after doing the rest of that writing, it still wasn't quite right. And in 2015... I started up a support group in Melbourne,
right,
using, mm-hmm, Meetup,
yep,
for romance scam survivors, and I was immediately contacted by, you know, about 50 people, and started up a regular group for
that
people.
50?
Yeah.
I thought you might say 5. That's,
no,
extraordinary.
No. And ABC picked up on it and interviewed me on radio, mm-hmm, and it's since gone on from there.
Yeah. Right.
Where I've been writing regular blogs and doing a lot of public speaking and media presentations on the topic, because nobody else is speaking out about it.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I come back to this victim blaming, where people are so ashamed because they blame themselves that they weren't able to discern that it was a scam.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And the focus for me is wrong, because instead of blaming the victim, we should be looking at who are the people doing this? Who are the perpetrators?
Mm. Mm.
Why are we not saying, you know, there's fraudsters out there?
Yeah.
Why are we not capturing them and putting them in prison because they are criminals?
Mm. Mm.
Exactly.
And yet we focus on the individual and make it an individual fault.
Yeah.
And it's just not true. The level of psychological manipulation is enormous. And not only the psychological manipulation, but the other factor is that when you fall in love, what happens in the brain is that a neurotransmitter, oxytocin, comes into play.
Mm.
And this is the honeymoon hormone.
Right, yeah.
This is the, you know, we all know that when you're in a honeymoon, you don't know what's going on around you.
You don't know your own name some of the time.
Scammers are deliberately creating that love state because what happens with oxytocin is we have reduced anxiety, greater risk taking, greater generosity, greater bonding. So it creates the state where everything a scammer might want is created.
Yeah.
So it's a deliberate tactic.
Yeah. And they know it and they've got it down to a fine art,
absolutely,
obviously.
Absolutely, that's exactly right. Yeah. And we should be focusing on them.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And these you know, people you gathered together, I suppose, that's like-minded people. Is that what... I mean, I imagine you would, you know, with as you... would say that thing you've heard so often about how could you be so silly, I guess that was clearly probably a common thread with all of them.
Yes, absolutely.
But this is such great stuff that you're doing to say, no, hang on, wait a minute, stop beating yourself up.
That's exactly right.
You know,
you have been psychologically manipulated.
This wasn't one phone call and you got out a checkbook. This was very, very carefully planned and went on.
It was a campaign, really.
It was a campaign, absolutely a campaign, yeah.
I wanted to jump back to the support group, and I know the people who might join a support group may not be representative. What's the gender breakup?
It's a mixture.
Yeah.
Certainly both women and men, both young and old, have approached me to be part of that group.
Okay.
If we look at the statistics, it's about... equal within 1 or 2% of
50-50?
women and men.
Okay,
slightly more women, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Women tend to lose more money.
Mm.
And if you look at the statistics last year, the reported losses from romance scams were over $54 million in Australia.
Yeah,
and we estimate that the number of people reporting is probably under 10%. So that means over 540 million dollars would have been more likely lost.
Well, that's $500 million.
Yes.
That's right. Yes,
and people aren't reporting because they're too ashamed.
Yeah. No, and that's a bit. And this is, I think, this is why, you know, what you've done is terrific. You put yourself out there and said, "Yep, happens to me." But you know, let's turn this into a positive. Which clearly, with the book and your blogs and things, you know,
yes,
it's fantastic.
I came back to the position that I'm human. Yeah. I'm allowed to make a mistake.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
And if I own up to that mistake, then I can go on from there. So that's when I started going public about the whole situation.
When you talk about the book, you said, I've printed it, you know, with the poor grammar typos. You haven't cleaned it up because you say, just as life is, unedited.
Yes.
Which is a great, you know.
Yeah.
And ain't that the truth?
Yes.
All right. On that thought, we'll take a break and hear from the Chieftains. We'll be back shortly.
No other bank backs your local community like Malden and District Community Bank. Sports clubs, a respite home for the disabled in Castlemaine, festivals and arts events, men's sheds, fire brigades, schools and preschools, and the Mount Alexander Business Awards are proudly supported by the Malden and District Community Bank. Call us on 5475 1747, drop into the Malden branch in High Street, or our branches at Newstead and Denoli to find out how banking with us is great for your community.
Hello, I'm Derek Gill, and you're listening to the most outstanding small station in the nation, 94.9 Main FM. Tune in on your radio or listen live via mainfm.net. 94.9 Main FM, putting the community back into radio.
And a pair of golden tonsils there.
What, Derek Gills?
Derek Gills, yeah. And then Tony Harvey's. During the break, you heard an instrumental piece which may have been played by male or female musicians. I'm not telling. I don't know. And I can't pronounce the name because it's Garlic.
They were androgynous or something.
But it was very pretty. Yeah. All right, we're back chatting with Jan Marshall.
Yes, Jan, I was just just off air, I was asking Jan about the photo initially. She saw photos of this man. Yeah, where do you think these photos come from? I mean,
they are definitely stolen.
Stolen, yeah.
And after I started understanding that I had been scammed, I did quite a bit of research.
Mm.
And so I learnt how to do a reverse image Google search.
Oh, yeah.
When I did that, I found those photos on 10 different profiles.
Oh, God.
Different names, different sites, different people.
Wow.
So they are stolen and reused quite often.
Right.
And I've since found another site that has got maybe 20 different photos of this man that have been used in scams.
Wow, just keeps coming back and back.
Yes, yes. Obviously, it's a photo that works. It's an attractive man.
Well, yeah. Which then sort of leads me to the next strange question. Who do you have an image in your mind of who this person was that did this? I mean, given that, yes, you said all the Skyping failed and everything, but have you ever formed a mental picture of this person who...
The real person.
The real person, yeah.
Look, after I was scammed, I did report it to the police.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the police actually referred the names that I had to Western Union so that those names could not be reused. And the word came back from Western Union that the money had gone to Nigeria.
Mm.
That's when I knew it was a Nigerian gang that had scammed me. So I imagine it's a young black man.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Wow.
And that's quite shocking.
Yes, yeah.
To think that it is a young black man.
Yeah, it is. It's and there would be no, I mean, given the... you know, with the email exchange, there wouldn't be a great indication of that. It's someone who was quite literate who could put together a sentence was sort of, I suppose, matching up their story to the, to the photos they were working
they
from, baby.
They will often claim to be of mixed heritage to cover up their accents. So, for example, my man was Irish and Russian.
Right, yeah.
But most of the profiles I looked at, they were mixed heritage, and that's how they can cover up the fact that they don't have the appropriate accent as that you would expect.
Yeah, because the name was Eamon...
Eamon Donegal Dublain, right. An Irish name.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds, I don't know, sounds convincing to me.
Yes.
Now, let
me just say one more thing, is that there are databases of photos that have been stolen.
Right.
And I get emails where the new ones going onto that site are listed. And I'd say there'd be between sort of 8 and 15 new photos stolen every week for men, and the similar number for women.
Yeah.
So, you know, photos are all being stolen.
Yeah.
And certainly the best way to look at that is to do a reverse Google search. But I also think that scammers are quite IT literate and they are now changing the photos slightly so that they're not coming up in the searches.
Gotcha, yeah.
So all I have to do is flip it or crop it.
Of course.
And that photo won't come up.
And it's not a direct match.
Yeah.
And that's how they see that. I tell you what, like I said, 24/7.
The other interesting statistic is that whereas in the early days a lot of this was happening via the online dating, the growing area of contact is Facebook. And I saw from one of the scam information sites just in the last couple of days that they had been tracking over 50% of the contacts are now coming via Facebook.
Right, wow.
So it's just a new friend request initially.
Yeah, I see.
You know, so you think you're making friends with people. And I've had a couple of people who say to me that they started chatting with somebody they were playing Words with Friends with online.
Mm.
So these online games is another way.
That's the way in. Yeah,
that's the way in. So they are finding other ways to make contact with people.
There you go. We want to mention something about, because you've done a lot of media, of course, since this happened, obviously, with the book. Of course, you've done the ABC, you've done various things. What's the recent ABC one you did, were you mentioning? Was it a radio interview, I think, did you say?
I certainly was on Life Matters on
the
radio.
Oh, yes, right, yeah, yeah.
I have been on a number of news reports with them as well.
Yeah.
And, yes, quite a number of radio interviews.
Yeah,
there.
And your blog, I suppose, is pretty popular. There's people,
yes,
you know, because yes, this is a great thing. I, you know, I mean, I can't say for sure. I have a hunch that people we'll probably seek out your blog if possibly they think they're in one of these. It's an awfully good place to go.
I'm getting more people contacting me saying, this is what's happening to me. Is it a scam?
Yeah, right.
And my response is, if your intuition is telling you that you have a question, then it's definitely a scam.
Go with it, yeah.
Trust your intuition.
Yep.
Don't trust the desire to be in love.
Yes. Yeah.
Because that's been manipulated.
Yeah.
Trust your intuition that something is not quite right.
And trust Jan Marshall, because she's been there, done it, and she knows, and she can tell you what the red flags are. Speaking of shameless plugging, we should mention that tonight at a certain bookshop, the name of which I can't recall.
Well, I can. 5 o'clock tonight, Jan will be giving a presentation at the Book Wolf and taking questions. And no doubt flogging the book and signing it for you if you're interested in reading about her experience.
And so happy to answer any questions that people may have.
Yep. Right.
Yes.
So do come
Looking
along.
Forward to
and
that.
In today's Tarangawa Times, there's an article on page 4.
She's everywhere.
Also about Jan. Jan is the celebrity of the month in Malden.
Yeah, absolutely, and deservedly so. Well, I just think this is fabulous what you've done, Jan, because as you say, that damn thing you've heard so many times, how could you be so stupid?
Yes.
You've turned that into a positive, and I think that's going to save a lot of people before it's too late. It's just, you know.
People don't realise that the level of skilled psychological manipulation that the scammers have, it's not about being stupid.
No.
We are just being honest and open and loving.
Mm.
And it's being abused by criminals.
Yeah.
Now, one of the interesting things is that, you know, people who get scammed think, well, I've got all this detail, can't they find out who it is? And you report to ScamWatch, you report to ACORN, which is the Australian Cybercrime Online Reporting Network, which is the place to report it.
Mm.
But nothing seems to happen from that. And this is one of the most upsetting aspects of it, is that the police don't seem to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it goes there, it'll get referred to the local police. And they can even be saying, well, you were just stupid.
Yeah.
And of course, if the scammer is overseas, as it is in a lot of situations, then they don't feel like can do anything anyway.
No.
So there is no recourse the way it would be if there was somebody local. Now, what's interesting is in this morning's ABC, some people have been arrested at the Villawood Detention Centre for running scams.
Right, wow.
Now, that's one of the few instances I've heard of anybody being arrested for scamming.
Yeah.
Because they are in the local jurisdiction.
From inside a prison.
God, using phones.
Yeah, wow.
And that includes business scams as well as romance scams.
Wow, that's extraordinary.
$3 million, I think they
really that
they've got out of it.
God, so it's you know, right under their nose, and yes, they can't see it's going on.
And what you see from that also is that the scammers are using multiple styles of scamming.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I also know that the scammers are engaged in hacking.
Mm.
I've had a number of people who have found their emails with the scammer disappear out of their email boxes.
Mm.
And, of course, the scams can get quite complicated too, where people will send money into bank accounts and get them to be paid out to other bank accounts. And money laundering is a key activity of some of these scams as well.
Yeah.
For me, it was pure, simple romance scam, but they are quite complicated, some of these scams as well.
Yeah.
You know, people being offered inheritance and, you know, trying to get money into the country and paying huge amount of money for insurance and customs and all of those sorts of things. Men and women.
Mm.
Men and women.
Yeah. There you go. Well, I think that's fascinating, Jane. Yeah. Thank you so much for being so honest and upfront with your book and with this interview. And best of luck tonight at the that bookshop. I can't remember the name.
Book Dingo in Malden.
Yes. It's been lovely to meet you, Jane. Yes. It really has.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you very much. Okay, we'll take a little music break.